We check in with Scott Kleinberg, and today we're going to talk about something very timely, especially as we head into a new year. A new study just came out. The Journal of the American Medical Association has it. It's about taking a break from social media, and we're going to talk about it now with digital and social media strategy expert Scott Kleinberg. Good morning, Scott. Tell us why this study is so important right now.
Morning, Bob. It's important all the time, but the timing right now is really perfect. I mean, we've known for a while that social media can affect our mental health. This is one of the first studies that actually tracked people's phones passively, meaning researchers use technology on the participants' phones to automatically record information like the apps they used, how often, how long, and the participants didn't have to do anything extra or remember to fill out surveys. That's usually how it goes. This is meant to show what it's like when you actually take a real break.
And what did the results show?
They were actually pretty significant. In just 1 week of cutting back on social media, people saw a 25% reduction in depression symptoms, a 16% drop in anxiety, 14% less insomnia. It's real impact in a matter of 7 days.
I'm not surprised. A lot of people have tried to quit before, and they say they're going to do it, and then they can't. What made this study different?
It's a great question. The difference was this wasn't relying on people's memory or self-reporting, which is how a lot of studies go. You fill out a survey after the fact and you tell them what you did. Researchers were actually tracking in real time exactly what was happening when people actually removed social media, not just saying they would, but really did. The mental health improvements were almost immediate.
So the way to do it, the key would be actually removing the apps, right?
Well, it's part of it, but here's something interesting that came out of the research. Some apps are much harder to quit than others. Instagram, for instance, 68% of people tried to remove it and still ended up using it during the detox week. Snapchat was similar, 49%. Twitter, or X as we call it now, had 82% compliance. Facebook was at 73%. So there's this interesting psychology here about which platforms have their hooks in us the deepest.
So it's because Instagram and Snapchat are more addictive, and that's why they're harder to leave?
Yeah. They're built around direct connections with people you know. So for Instagram and Snapchat, you've got streaks. You've got ongoing conversations, direct messages with friends. And it feels really personal. It feels like if you don't check in, you might miss something important from someone you care about. Now, TikTok, by contrast, is mostly passive entertainment. You can replace that. All of this stuff taps into FOMO, which is the fear of missing out, in a much more direct way.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And right now, holiday time is traditionally when people feel more pressure to be connected. And in some cases, they're off. They have more time, actually. And everyone wants to keep up with what's going on and share things. So this has to be the hardest time to try a digital detox.
Honestly, you know, I would think that the holidays might be the perfect time. And here's why. We all have this implicit permission to do things differently, right? New Year's resolutions are coming, and there's already this cultural moment about renewal and change. But more importantly, the holidays are about physical presence. It's about being with the people you actually care about, not being on your phone at the dinner table, not doom scrolling before you go to bed, not comparing your holiday to someone else's curated Instagram feed.
True. It's also about taking stock of things, reviewing what you want to do, making New Year's resolutions, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the research also showed something that really surprised me a lot. The study found that when you take a social media break, there's this really interesting behavior that developed. They spent an extra 43 minutes a day at home compared to the baseline figure. So they didn't suddenly go out hiking or doing outdoor activities. They stayed home and they did other things. Maybe they read a book. Maybe they spent more time with a family member. Maybe they actually cooked a meal. The point is, they weren't compulsively checking their phones. And when you're talking about a social media detox, or any kind of detox, that is a win.
Reading a book, imagine that. So it's not about replacing one habit with another. It's really about breaking the compulsion itself, isn't it?
That is exactly right. And one thing that did not improve in the study was loneliness. And that's really important. When people cut social media, they actually felt a little more isolated because it's a real tool for staying connected. So, you know, this isn't me saying get rid of social media forever and you'll be happy. It's about being intentional. It's about understanding that these platforms are designed to keep you engaged, but not always in ways that serve your mental health.
Scott, let's talk about how we get hooked, and why don't you break down the way we are engaged a little too much on social media?
Yeah, sure. This is actually really interesting. Social media platforms are engineered with algorithms that are pretty smart. Every time you refresh, you might see something interesting, but you might not. But the possibility that you might is what keeps you coming back. It's almost the same mechanism that makes a slot machine addictive. Your brain releases dopamine when you get a like or a comment or you see something that grabs your attention. And the platforms and the algorithms know this. They're constantly tweaking the algorithms to maximize this engagement time. It's not about maximizing happiness. It's about engagement. It's not about optimizing for your well-being. It's optimizing for your attention, because it's your attention that they sell to advertisers.
Yeah, no wonder it's so hard to get off of these platforms.
Yeah, it really is. And here's where I think the holidays and the new year really matter. Most people make resolutions, right? Fitness, diet. I'm going to go to the gym more. I'm going to eat healthier. And those are good. But what if you made a resolution about your digital life? What if you sat back and said, for January, I'm going to try to see what this study showed and see if it actually works to take a real break from social media? And remember, it's not forever. It's not a permanent lifestyle change necessarily. It could be, but it's not necessarily. But even 2 weeks or just the first week of January, that could set a completely different tone for the entire year.
Well, so what would you recommend people do to get started, if someone wants to try it, what would be the first step?
I would say the first step is to take an honest assessment of yourself. Figure out how much time you're actually spending. Most phones have a built-in screen time tracker where you can actually see how much time you're spending on each app. I would look at it. I bet you'll be very surprised. But then set a specific limited goal. So I would not say, I'm never going to go on Instagram again. It's too hard and you're not going to be able to keep that. Say, for 1 week in early January, I am not going to use Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok. Pick the platform or two that you know have the biggest grip on you.
Yeah, most of the time, this only happens when you forget your phone. And then you always think, hey, that's kind of nice. That's okay. I can live without it. But that doesn't last long, does it?
Yeah.
You could just delete some apps, couldn't you?
Yes, for sure. Delete them off your phone. Now, you can still access them from a browser if you really need to. But psychologically, that extra step matters. And then this is key. Have a plan for what you're going to do instead to fill the void. Don't just delete the app and go crazy. You know, maybe you read that book that's been sitting on your nightstand. We talked about something as simple as reading before. Maybe you take a walk every evening. Maybe you cook a family dinner and you say no phones at the table. You want to give your brain something else to do.
But after a week, chances are you'll go right back to what you were doing before, don't you think?
Well, it's an interesting thought, but I think that once you break the habit, once you realize that you can actually live without it and you can actually feel better, you know, maybe you'll rethink your relationship. You might not go back to exactly where you were. You might be more intentional. You might have more specific times when you check in, like I'm going to look at Instagram for 15 minutes right after work and then I'm done for the day. That in itself is very different from the constant checking that most of us do.
When you talk or write about this, Scott, do you hear from people who say, I don't have a problem, I can check social media if I want and just put my phone down? How do you respond to that?
Honestly, Bob, I hear that a lot. And some people genuinely can do that. But research suggests that most of us can't. And we're not weak because of it. Remember, these platforms are literally engineered by teams of engineers and people whose entire job it is to make these things hard to resist. The average American is spending now like 3+ hours a day on social media. And I would not call that a personal failing. I call that a design problem, because if you can truly moderate, that's great. But even if you can, I would try the detox just to see what it does for you, because as we've seen from this study, the results are measurable.
So your message is what? Just try?
Actually, I think that's a really great way to put it, because I think if you just try, you might really surprise yourself.
Okay, I'll try. Let's get to the Genius Bar for Scott. Got a couple of questions this morning, Scott. First of all, could you talk about the apps you need and maybe some you might want to get rid of? This definitely goes with what you're talking about this morning.
Yeah, that's a really, really interesting question. I would say that, well, you know, we talked about social media apps, the ones that are dopamine triggering, like TikTok and Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, all the ones you think. But I would say that even during a detox, you know, there's important ones like texting and calling apps, navigation in the car, health and emergency services, of course, others like email, meditation apps, habit trackers. They could be useful for your well-being, but they could be, I guess, optional depending on what your goals are. Interesting way to think about it is an app like, you know, there's Headspace and Calm, those mindfulness meditation support apps with the light music and the nature sounds and all of those. That could fill the void. So something like that could be useful. And I would always have access, you know, to your financial stuff, you know, the things you have to pay, your schedules for work, all of those things. I think those are all important. I think it's what you do in between or in the lead up to all those important things.
Before we let you go, one more Genius Bar question for you, Scott. Yes. When you get one of those data breach letters, should you freak out? What should you do? And we've all received those notices, haven't we?
We have. And I'm going to admit something really crazy to you, Bob. There was a time where when I used to get one of those letters, I did exactly that. I freaked out. I was like, this is really scary. My password's out there. My information is out there. And now I'm ashamed to say this. It's like it's another day. And this happens all the time. And what's interesting about those data breach emails, you have to read, they might not necessarily be fine print, but you have to read beyond the subject line. It will usually tell you, I don't know how accurate it is, but it will usually tell you your password was exposed, your credit card information was exposed, or it could say the only thing that was exposed was your first and last name. There are different levels of data breaches. None are good. But if it says your password has been compromised, your credit card has been compromised, the unfortunate thing is there's nothing you can do about it at that time to fix that. All you can do is fix things going forward. And going forward, that means make sure your passwords are super secure. Make sure you have two-factor authentication on. Assume that someone has your information and could use it. And do everything you can do to make sure that person doesn't get the opportunity.
They usually offer you free credit monitoring, and I guess you should take advantage of that, shouldn't you?
You should always take advantage of that. And the way I look at it is anytime somebody offers me something free that's going to help my livelihood, I'm not against it. So, yeah, always do something like that. And even if they don't offer that, work with your credit card company. If you see anything weird on your financial statements and, you know, just be proactive in that way.
Yes, free is good. Scott Kleinberg, thank you. Talk to you again next week.
Take care, Bob.